This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saves the ball with the leap. Knocked out of bounds. Deflected by me. And off to the side.
Now watch. Oh, let's see if it watch.
Oh, great.
It's going
deflection.
Right for you. Did you see that?
Put it on the list.
Deflection.
It's going for your hand. Baldwin.
What exactly happened there, Kevin Harlan? I think you need the video there to understand what happened.
Yeah, it's a little tough sometimes, but basically the ball is flying out of play onto the sidelines.
Okay.
And Kevin Harlan stands up and just basically knocks it out of the air, saves his color commentary guy, and the ball goes flying off in another direction.
I saw Kevin Harlan last year. We went out to eat one night before a Bills game and happened to go to a hotel where a friend of ours was, and I see Kevin Harlan down in the lobby, the hotel. Kevin Harlan! There you go. And it was really great, just kind of catching up. He's fantastic at what he does as well, and he was just super gracious, really nice. Speaking of that, you know what? I wanted to give a little, I don't do Hey Buddy during the off season, but it would have been a perfect Hey Buddy for this week. Did you see the New York Rangers celebrated Sam Rosen over the weekend? Sam Rosen is one of the best to ever do it. He really is. That's where it's a power play goal comes from. He was the one that was his signature saying. And I had a chance. So I went to Syracuse with Sam Rosen's son. His son was literally in my class at Syracuse. Same age as me. And found out, oh my God, his name is Garrett. You're Sam Rosen's son. Wow, that's really cool. Blah, blah, blah. So early 90s, we're friends. I don't remember exactly what year it was. Rangers are in Buffalo, and he's like, hey, my dad's calling the game in Buffalo. You know, if you want to go to the game. I said, sure. And back then, it was him and John Davidson he was his color analyst. So I went to the game to meet Sam Rosen, hang out with his son. And his son said, his son, Garrett, was kind of doing some stat work for them and things like that. So anyway, we go to the game. Here's what happened. If you remember, a lot of people remember this. You won't remember this, but you're going to be like, what are you talking about? Back at the old Odd, Josh, they had, when the visiting team, the visiting play-by-play and color guy, there was no seat for them in the press box. They literally had a bucket that overhanged, and you'd have to crawl into it, and you'd sit in a bucket. Think about the third level of KeyBank right now, and if hanging off the third level was a bucket where people would sit. And they were in this caged bucket That's what it was. Like a, it was called a bucket, I think. And they would have a camera there, and they'd have the color analyst and the play-by-play literally sitting there. So I go, and I'm talking to Sam, and Garrett's there. And Garrett had a soda that he put down. And he went to grab it, and he hit it, and it fell over on top of everybody. And security comes up, and they were like, hey, you need to leave. He's like, I'm working here. But that's how they used to have the visiting play-by-play guy. People remember. I don't know. I've looked for pictures of it. You could see one in a picture of the odd. I did find one time where I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is. Look at that thing. It was a little picture of it. If anybody could find a picture of that, send it to me. Because I always tell people about the story of the bucket where the visiting play-by-play and color commentator used to sit at the old odd. It was fascinating because they could not be up in the actual press box. There was no room for them. So they did that. Anyway, so got to meet Sam, got to meet JD. 2 decades later, I don't know, about 10 years ago now, I guess, maybe a little less, Rangers are in town. I go to a Sabres game. I'm up in the press box. I go up to Sam Rosen. I'm like, hey, Sam, I came. I was friends with your son, Garrett, in school. I came. He's like, Sal, I remember you. It was amazing. And it was 20 years later. Very cool, right? Just to have that interaction with him and know that he remembered and he was super gracious with his time. We talked about it. I said, hey, how's Garrett doing? And haven't talked to him in a long time. But either way, really cool. Sam Rosen, they celebrated Sam Rosen over the weekend with the New York Rangers. He's one of the best to ever do it. And I'm glad don't love the fact the Rangers won a cup. It's not necessarily a hated rival, but I was glad that he got to call, a Stanley Cup championship in 94. Unfortunately, obviously, RJ never got a chance to call a Stanley Cup championship. The Rangers did. They hadn't won one since 1940. Then they win one in 1994. And they're very disappointing this year, by the way, the Rangers, aren't they? They might miss the playoffs.
Lots of bad vibes around the Rangers right now. Yeah. Just like everything going on there with the players and all the stories coming out with like the management and everything. It's a weird.
Does it feel like they could move on from Drury?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that bad, but if it's, like one of those toxic environments, then maybe. But it also feels like they're kind of on the edge of maybe another rebuild. Because I mean, if you think about it, their rebuild they just had where they got Kaapo Kakko and Alexi Lafreniere, it was 2 years. That was it. Yeah. Like they picked second overall and first overall, and then they were right back at it. But it's like you got guys aging out like Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad and all those guys. They just traded Jacob Trouba. Like that's their captain. Or former captain, I should say. There's a lot of like weird stuff in the Rangers organization right now, and I'm really curious as to where they go next.
Rangers right now are sitting on the outside looking in. The Senators and Canadiens hold the 2 wildcard spots, and they both have 2 games in hand on the Rangers, by the way. They've played 2 less games than the Rangers. The Rangers are a point behind the Canadiens, 5 points behind the Ottawa Senators, who are in town tomorrow night. It is the return of Dylan Cousins. I mean, he was just traded, but you got to think they'll do some sort of video thing for Cousins tomorrow, right? Right away?
I feel like it, yeah. There's got to be something. Olofsson got a video.
How quickly was that? I think it would happen right away. Yeah. It's so quick, but I still think you do it. It's his first time back.
For sure.
I think it's kind of like it's kind of like the rule of doing these things.
And it's also like you knew it was coming. Like you can look ahead at the schedule and see, oh, they're going to play the Senators again here. Like, so the people that do that sort of thing knew that they had to make that decision very quickly. So it's not like you had to wait a while and all the schedule's out. When is it going to be? I think they're going to have something.
He has played well, Dylan Cousins. There's no doubt. I'm not sounding the alarms of, oh, here we go, another Conn Smythe winner winning the Stanley Cup for the Senators. But take a look what he's done since he's been in Ottawa. Let's see, 1, 2, 3 goals and 1, 2, 3, 4 assists. He's already got 7 points in 5, 6, 8 games. 7 points in 8 games.
He went into a place where I had a lot of good vibes going, though.
Yeah,
I mean, they're on a playoff push, and there's a lot of stuff going on there that I think is influencing.
And I think
that
totally matters. I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you.
Because look at what happened with Casey Mittelstadt last year. He did the same thing in Colorado, and then now this year he gets traded to Boston.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's going to happen to Dylan Cousins, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. The vibes part and what you're playing for and meaningful hockey means something. We haven't had that here in Buffalo in quite a while. All right, Matt Bove and I last night recorded It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Check it out. It's on the Odyssey app. It's wherever you pod, iTunes, Spotify, and of course, the video. And you need to watch the video on this one. At Sal Sports is the YouTube channel. Subscribe to it. Watch the video of last night's pod because I put on the screen. It's a visual type of exercise. We did talk through it, but it is a visual exercise. And I asked Matt, I said, Matt, I put a spreadsheet together, of course I did, and said, all right, each, I have seven different columns, and it's each round and every pick the Bills have had under Brandon Bean. So first round, here's all the players. Second round, here's all the players. Next column's third round, here's all the players. And, for example, he's had six first-round picks. Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver, Dalton Kincaid, Kyrie Elam. We did this for every round. Only Brandon Bean, 2018 till now. And I told Matt, rank each guy according to how good of a pick it was in each round. So, obviously, Josh Allen's the best first-round pick. So he had Allen. And actually, I disagreed. His next one was Tremaine Edmonds, then Greg Rousseau. These are only first-rounders. Then Ed Oliver, Dalton Kincaid, Kyrie Elam. Now, obviously, a guy like Dalton Kincaid, book is still not written on him. He's only in year number two. If he was fantastic, he could be higher, but he still has a chance to rise up this board. I would disagree and put, I would put Greg Rousseau at number two ahead of Tremaine Edmonds, but the rest I would keep. Ed Oliver, then Dalton Kincaid, and then, of course, Kyrie Elam at the end. This has sparked a lot of debate. Some people did not agree with Matt that he put Osiris Torrance ahead of James Cook as a second-round pick. What do you think about that? Matt has Osiris Torrance as a better second-round pick than James Cook.
I mean, I could see the argument.
I could, too. I didn't fight back much on it.
The offensive line is very stable, and it has gotten a lot more stable since he's been there. But, I mean, James Cook was...
And he's started... every game, he played every snap his rookie year. James Cook really didn't come into his own until his second year, which is fine, the same year they drafted Osiris, and he's been fantastic. But they are clearly the top two guys there, and then you go to Epenesa, Coleman, Bishop, Cody Ford, and Boogie Basham. Third round, the Bills have had a very good third round under Brandon Bean, okay? Spencer Brown, Matt gave number one as the best third round pick. Then Terrell Bernard, then Harrison Phillips, who's with Minnesota, has had a nice career. Then Dawson Knox, Devin Singletary, Dorian Williams, Zach Moss, and Dwayne Carter rounded out. That's a really good third-round class, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really good. And I think Dwayne Carter can really step things up this year, too. He's going to have a lot of opportunity early in the season. So,
how about this, though? This is a crazy stat, Josh. Have you looked at this sheet yet? Okay, I'm going to ask you this. Since 2018, Brandon Bean has had 55 draft picks, okay? He's drafted 55 players. How many fourth-rounders? Since 2018, he's had seven drafts. Mm-hmm. How many fourth-rounders? I'll give you, for example, he's had six first-rounders and 10 fifth-rounders. How many fourth?
Ooh. I feel like you're setting me up for either a very high number or a very low number.
Of course I am. You have to decide.
Man. I'm going to go on the lower end of things. I'm going to say like five.
Three. The Bills under Brandon Bean have only had three fourth-round picks.
I thought five was going to be
too low.
I know, right?
Crazy. It's amazing.
That's crazy.
And they've been good. You ready? Taron Johnson, Gabe Davis, and Ray Davis. That's it.
Wow.
That's it.
And they've all been very good in their own respects.
Yes.
Taron Johnson is obviously
he's an all-pro.
Yeah, and then Ray Davis has been great this year, and Gabe Davis had...
As a fourth-rounder, Gabe Davis was a fine pick.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah.
He had a good four-year run.
That's crazy. His picks in the later rounds are incredible.
Well, fifth round, there was this debate. Matt put Wyatt Teller as his best fifth-round pick over Khalil Shakir and a bunch of other guys that definitely wouldn't go there, but would you have Teller or Shakir there? And I agree with it. I think Teller. He's a two-time all-pro.
I think that's right, but it's just I think it's a name that people do forget about sometimes, just like because of just how everything happened and everything. But like Shakir's on his way though. I think Shakir is going to vie for that number one spot soon. But I think that's right for
Matt. I tweeted all this out. Go check it out at Sal Sports. I have the list. I have the rankings from Matt, and it was a really fun exercise. No doubt, Christian Benford has been his best sixth round pick. No doubt. The debate we had was between Damar Hamlin and Tyler Bass as the number two.
I mean, that's tough. That's tough because Tyler Bass, for a few years, he was nailing everything. And then there's that one stretch. But Damar Hamlin's really turned into something nice, too.
As a sixth-round pick, Damar Hamlin, he started at safety last year for a team that went to the AFC title game. He's a sixth-round pick.
And especially after everything that happened, too.
Yes. Ray McLeod's on this list. Jaquan Johnson, who people say, somebody said he's a miss. Jaquan Johnson was a four-year main special teams guy as a sixth-round pick. You'll always take that for a guy like that. Isaiah Hodgins, Matt Araiza, Tylon Grable, who won the swing tackle job. And then, how about this, the last round, the seventh round. The best seventh-round pick, and I agree with it, Dane Jackson. He was a seventh-round pick of the Bills.
Yeah, that's right.
Over Darryl Bam Johnson, Alex Austin, who is still playing. He picked off Josh Allen. He's a main backup for the Patriots. Tommy Sweeney, Baylen Spector, and then you get down to some guys who really didn't play. So pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
Here's another
Dane Jackson's a seventh rounder.
Dane Jackson didn't make the team his first year. He was waived. He had to join the practice squad. He could have been picked up. He could have gone anywhere. And then he eventually was elevated, eventually signed, and we know where it is today. And then the other interesting anecdote that I found while looking at this. This is not totally like unique. I just think it's interesting because through 7 years of drafting, Brandon Bean has never drafted a player from Alabama, Michigan, or Ohio State. Now, there's been guys that they signed. Levi Wallace, Alabama. They traded for Amari Cooper. He went to Alabama. There's been guys, but never actually drafted anyone. And it's so funny, folks. I get people in my mentions saying, well, they only like these underdog stories, not big school. No. That's not true. They've drafted guys from big schools. And oh, by the way, spare me with all that when I look back at Brett Veach's drafts. The Kansas City Chiefs general manager, the same amount of drafts, 7 of them. He also drafted no one from Alabama, no one from Ohio State, and 1 fifth rounder from Michigan. That's it. Here's the point. Howie Roseman, he has quite a few. Howie Roseman has just loaded up on Georgia guys, by the way, right? We all know that. Here's the point, folks. Where a guy went to school and where you draft from, what schools, has actually no correlation on how good an organization is. Josh Allen went to Wyoming, okay? I mean, Patrick Mahomes went to Texas Tech. So there you go. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll wrap up your Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.